Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. It's now or never. I literally mean that. If we are starting to work together and start uniting and putting aside our differences, we can actually pull off what the framers pulled off, because that's exactly what they had to do. They had to put aside their differences and their self-interests and actually work together on the common things. And at that point in time, the common thing that they had was natural law. I mean, it wasn't because they were trying to create a unified church or a unified religion. And that in itself has always cause problems amongst men. I mean, if you look at so many wars and the clashes throughout the history of mankind, it's never been, you know, the ability. We've never been able to create and unify. And the scriptures tell us we can only unify when the Lord comes again. So let's not try to unify religion. Let's try to unify on the fundamentals that all religions agree upon, which is what we call natural law, and the individual liberty, the individual rights of the person and their sovereignty and being able to choose for themselves. This is what this nation was built upon. And so what we have that actually established that was the Constitution. We have a frame of government, a framework of a Republican form of government, a new level of Republicanism. Because Republicanism prior to America was based upon representation of the people. Look at Parliament, the nation we broke away from. Parliament had two houses. It had the Houses of the Lords and the House of the Commons. And so when you look at that, who do they represent? They represent the people. They ignored what the people did in establishing governments and sub-elements of government. Why do we have different levels of government? And in America, this is why we have very specific and distinct different levels of government, from the general government or the federal government to the state government to the county government. And in essence, as Madison and Jefferson tried to teach people, the government that's closest to you is the government that should have most of the effect and impact upon your everyday life. And the government that's the furthest away from you should have less impact over your daily life than anything else. It should be completely transparent to you. Only when we're going to war, only when, you know, we're dealing with real world problems that our federal government has to deal with, such as an economic war or actually, you know, a bang-bang shoot-up war. But anyway, today, the focus today, because I think it's really apparent that we kind of dive into, because I've kind of glossed over the problem of the party. And we all know, and I think I've mentioned this before, that when we look at Washington's last, or his farewell comments, and the framers' comments regarding factions and parties, it's really apparent that they understood the divisiveness of parties. But did they actually ever fathom that parties would actually begin colluding to take power for themselves? I don't think that they understood that. I don't know if they saw that coming. They knew that they were evil, they were self-serving, but I don't think they ever saw that they would become evil enough to where they would actually work together to start creating a monopoly of power, because that's what happened with the Democrat and Republican Party. Let me ask you something. Now, and I know we're starting to get feedback, and we're starting to get some interest regarding the lawsuit that we've already talked about, and the petitions and so forth, and we will get into all of these things. Like I said, there's no such thing as a 30-second elevator speech to going into these details. I tell people, and most people, you know, think I'm really marginalizing when I say this is really simple stuff. This is not rocket science, but this is a foreign language that you have to learn how to say the simple things. It may be difficult for the beginner, but this is not something that you can't grasp within a very short period of time. And so let me focus right now. What I want to focus on, if that's okay with you, is these factions and the parties and how they colluded. And I want to prove to you how the Democrat and Republican Party has become antithetical to, and when I say the party, I talk about the national central committees, the RNC, the DNC, the national committee, these national parties, and how they've colluded together. Because who chooses the president? You, we the people? No. The parties took full control of that. As a matter of fact, who is it that actually appoints the electors? Do you, according to the Constitution, you're supposed to vote for your elector. Do you vote for your elector? Do you know who the electors were who represented you, your congressional district, or your Senate, or both Senate seats? Do you know who they are? Were they even on the ballot? Did you actually cast a ballot for these people? No. These electors are being chosen by the party. That's not within the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, what is within the Constitution is that the state legislators are supposed to choose the manner in how you choose your electors. Nowhere in the Article 1, or actually Article 2, Section 1, or the 12th Amendment, nowhere will you find anything that empowers the state legislatures to determine the outcome. In other words, unbeknownst to you. And as a matter of fact, if you understand republicanism, republicanism gives you the opportunity to have some say, to say who that elector is going to be. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many people are really active in the Republican and Democratic Party today? If you looked at your county, if you looked at your state, do you even have 50% of your state active in those parties? If not, then how is it that the parties are actually representing you and being able to make these decisions for you in determining who your electors are going to be and who they're going to vote for? They absconded. They had stolen and undermined the Electoral College so that they could control the king of America, because that's what they've done. They've anointed the president with powers that the president never really had these powers. He doesn't have the power to use executive privilege and or executive orders to legislate. That's a violation of the Constitution. He's only the guy that's supposed to enforce the law. Our sovereigns in our government are those legislators who you actually directly vote for. So the fact of the matter is, when we start looking at how the Electoral College started changing and converting, there had to be a level of cooperation between the Democrat and the Republican Party. You got to remember that during the Civil War, an abomination occurred. And what I mean by an abomination, this is something that nobody would ever want to see ever happen again. And this is where we had a Republican president and a Democratic vice president. They wanted to make sure that they could always be able to point the finger at the existing administration towards one party or the other and make you think like they're actually opposite and opposing each other, when all along at the national or behind the curtain, they have been working together in moving us towards this global government. There's a book on my website on Reclaiming the Republic that you really need to read, and I'll give you the title because it's not an easy title just to remember. But what I want to do is I need to go through the obligatories. Then I'll give you that title, and then we're going to talk about how they started taking over and how they basically absconded and have completely perverted our local government. And so the whole point of this, while I talk about all of this, is what I want you to think about. Ponder on this and keep, You know, if you're a prayerful person, then pray with an intent in your heart to go, what is the real answer? Because bottom line, all the framers pointed to the evil of the party because the parties were divisive. But do parties need to be divisive? And can we actually create an end to parties being able to have that level of control? Yes, there is a solution, but ironically, it's going to require a party to end this party control. And it's going to require a paradigm shift. Because bottom line, anybody who loves liberty and anybody who loves individual sovereignty should actually understand and get what we're really talking about. So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And as you know, the show is the only show. We're the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do if we're going to save this hybrid constitution republic. I'll get into what a hybrid constitution republic is as well. Because, you know, I'm not trying to make things confusing, but in a way, we have allowed ourselves to, you know, try to oversimplify things because we've always tried to dumb things down. That's our own fault. If you look at the grasp of some of the things politically, geographically, and those types of historically, what they used to teach in school, you would take those tests and go, oh, man, you got to be a genius to pass these things. Well, it shouldn't be that way. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I still need to take care of these obligatories, but when we come back, I will have the name of the book that you should really read. It was written back, I think, in 1792, and you know, we'll move into and dive into the details on the party, because I think now is the time to really talk about this. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we kind of look at the, you know, the book that we wrote, or actually it's available out on our website, but what I do want to do is I want to go through these obligatories first. And so, Fortitude Financial Coaching, those of you who have actually taken the necessary step in getting yourself financially secure and trying to take care of, you know,
this credit, the debt, and you know, your debt to income ratio, all of those types of things, getting financially healthy, you're never going to be free until the day you actually take full control over your finances. So what you need to do is do what I tell you to. Go contact Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching and talk to him about what it takes and what kind of services he can provide you, okay? Because bottom line, if you become the master of your finances, as Dave Ramsey says, you'll begin to live like no one else. But you can't live like everybody else getting there. If you try to buy the new cars, if you try to go out and live a lifestyle that you can't even afford because everybody else is doing it, then you're making the same mistakes. So let's make a big change this coming new year. And what we can do is we can actually take control of our lives and make those positive changes. That's why we provided how to set effective goals for ourselves on, what was it, the 30th and the 31st. So yeah, basically, right before New Year's, we gave you, go back and listen to my podcast for those last two episodes, because that's how we covered this. Anyway, we also have free constitutional classes that were done by Keith Broders out at constitutioneducation.us. He's the founder of the Constitution Club, and I would highly recommend you check out what he's offering. Now, there are also Constitution classes out in Southern California for all of those people who are starving to understand the Constitution. You should check out the Constitution Association and Douglas V. Gibbs. He offers Constitution classes out there in person and over the web and so forth. But Timber Nation is a place that you can actually start buying yourself some heirlooms if you want to actually get furniture that will outlast you. I mean, if you've ever had really good quality hardwood furniture, it's hard to beat. I mean, it's just hard to dent. It's hard to hurt. I mean, you really have to be careless to damage hardwood furniture. But most people aren't careless. Most people actually want to take care of their furniture, and it's nice to have something worth taking care of. And so go check out Timber Nation. Look at the types of products that they offer. If there's something that you really need, I'm telling you, if you can draw it up and explain to them what you're looking for, there's no doubt in my mind, they will do everything they can to build that product for you. They built me this beautiful broadcasting desk that we use. And so I've got to take care of before we can get it all cleaned up and finished, because I've got to put a protective plastic on it and so forth, because I've got a lot of metal and, you know, microphones and equipment that we put on the desk, so I don't want to necessarily scratch it up. I mean, you can scratch hardwood if you're not careful. But anywho, check out timbernation.com. And by the way, I can't emphasize enough, none of these endorsements are paid endorsements. And so Radio Dust Covers, I buy Radio Dust Covers products. Go check them out if you have ham radio equipment, if you have high-end or audio equipment or electronics that you want to protect, like, you know, your mixing board or what have you. I mean, dust is not good for electronics. Pet dander, smoke, none of that is good for your electronics. This is why you want to protect them. And more importantly, if you are an organization, you have an ISP support, if you have an email support, let's say you've got Constant Contact or MailChimp. Those types of companies are big tech paradigm companies, and I know for a fact that Constant Contact is deplatformed and basically pulled the rug on what we call conservative constitutional organizations. Northwest Grassroots lost their support right before the election, right before the 2020 election. The Constant Contact stopped serving them. They said, we're not going to serve you anymore because we don't agree with what you're doing. And it's just like the conservative treehouse got deplatformed. Big tech companies out there are trying to silence you. As a matter of fact, if you do your email with Reagan.com, you would think you've got a good conservative email service. I cannot send an email to anyone from my reclaimingtherepublic.org or my Mobistrip Press or any of my domains because they block everybody outside the big tech accepted like Yahoo, Google, and those types of internet mail accounts. So why would you actually go and sign up with Reagan.com? Oh, because it's got Reagan's name. See what they did? And people are completely oblivious to the fact that they're not getting email. And the sender gets told, oh, well, you're being blocked by the recipient. And that's not the case. Anyway, if you're working and using Reagan.com, you need to drop them. You need to actually, you're better off on Google or you're better off on Yahoo, because at least you know that you're in the bastion of evil where these people are out to get you. You would never have thought that Reagan was out to get you or the Reagan.com domain was out to actually suppress information from you. And so I'm just telling you that we need to start actually really considering who we're working with and who is providing us services. Because you never know exactly what they're providing or what they're not providing and what they're taking away from you. Okay, so here's the name of the book that I was talking about. If you really want to know how long and how far back the facts started coming out regarding an actual conspiracy, well, this is called The Proofs of a Conspiracy Against All the Religions and Governments of Europe, carried on in the secret meetings of the Freemasons, Illuminatis, and the Reading Societies. This is the title. And the Reading Societies, collected from good authorities by John Robinson, A.M. And so if you want to go, actually, I'm sorry, this was actually printed in 1798. So how long have conspiracy theories been around? We just started concocting these? Actually, these aren't conspiracies, and what the title actually tells you is these are proofs. You can't just start allowing ourselves to be. Or the fact is, we have been indoctrinated. The C word, conspiracy, anytime they use that, they use it in a derogatory term like this person is a wacko, this person is crazy. It's just like constitutionalists, conservatives, or militias. We're being indoctrinated by the mainstream media and by our education system to actually look at things that are actually constitutional, like the militia, as a bad thing. The framers understood very specifically why the militia was integral to our national security, and it had nothing to do with defending ourselves as much as being the final and ultimate check and balance against tyranny. This is why in the Constitution, the federal government was never, never granted to enforce their own laws. They didn't have the authority to do so. The states delegated that power that the federal government had to call upon the militia to execute the laws of the Union. If they had a problem enforcing the few laws that they would have jurisdiction over, then they had to call upon the militia. This is how we had this final check. If you don't believe me, go read June 14th and 16th. In the Virginia ratification debates, where they talked about this to ad nauseum. And you will see for yourself exactly how well they understood what a standing army was. A standing army was not a military force. It was a police force that the king was using to suppress and oppress the public, to keeping them out of his forest from being able to feed themselves so he could control them better. What do you think our government's been doing? They've been creating their own enforcement agencies in actually violent violation of the Constitution. And they've been creating all of these laws that they have no jurisdiction over. And we'll actually prove all of these things. But more importantly, let's get back to the party, because this is what I want to focus on. After the Civil War, after this abomination of a Democrat and Republican. Oh, by the way, when was the Republican Party created? most people think that it was the Lincoln, you know, Lincoln was the founder. No. The first Republican Party was created by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. Now, at one point, I believe he was asked, what about this Republican Party? And he emphasized as an adjective that it was a Democratic Republican Party. And so they took that in this response or in this newspaper article as, okay, this is a fact. This is the name of that party. So history, or I should say the revisionist, actually wanted to change so the people, they would actually point to Jefferson as the founder of the Democratic Party. And they've been teaching this. Now, if you want contrary evidence to prove that Jefferson really never called it the Democratic Party, he was only using that as an adjective, then go look at his first inaugural address. Did he say we're all Democrats, we're all Federalists? No, he said we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists. But even more so, I have more damning evidence written by the hand of James Madison in 1834. With that, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so in 1834, when the perversion of what Madison and Jefferson were attempting to do in 1798 came full circle under the term nullification, James Madison actually... You know how you can see somebody when they're really upset in their texting. You know, you usually keep your texts kind of short, but all of a sudden somebody goes into this flurry of thumb flying, and next thing you know, you get a 12-paragraph essay, in text or something like that, and you go, wow, that person must be really possessed. Well, James Madison went into a 13-page diatribe regarding the evils of this perversion thing called nullification. And in this document, he talked about, because if you understand, 1798 was when the Republican Party, or actually it was 1799, because the two resolutions were provided by Jefferson and Madison was in October and then December. And what ended up happening was the other states actually rejected it, and they actually insinuated that these two states were becoming treasonous and some other bad insinuations, so much so that Jefferson's response, he kind of lamented, and he talked about it's every state's right to nullify. But what he didn't do was he didn't go into the details that if a state nullified the laws that are within the union, that come from the federal government, whether they're constitutional or unconstitutional, that and actually you can't nullify unconstitutional laws. And this is the whole point of what Madison was really getting into. But Jefferson did not expound on any of this. And so what he did was he said he lamented, but the states have this right of nullification. He didn't add this little caveat to the fact that if a state nullifies, they really need to do one of two things. And what Madison really clearly articulates in this and other documents is that if you're going to nullify a federal law, then you must secede from the Union. Or, and this is the thing he never really said, or you must become an advocate for amending the Constitution by calling for a convention. Now, if you know Madison, he thought that one of the most evil things that could ever happen again would be a convention, because he saw how culpable the states really were. I think when he went into the Constitutional Convention, he knew that the states were bad. You know, they were the bad players in everything, but he didn't realize how bad they were. And then when he saw, you know, how they tried to lie and they tried to be deceptive regarding the Constitution. And anybody that, and I've said this before, anybody that wants to read the Anti-Federalist, Federalist Papers, the only ones that really count are the ratification debates, because you have both the Federalist arguments and the Anti-Federalist. And every state that vigorously debated the Constitution rejected the Anti-Federalists. They recognized that these guys were really more of a cabal that was trying to protect their relevance and protect their power. Just like all the conservative organizations and some of these, what the big parties are doing, what the Uniparty, the Democrats and Republicans are doing. They're only protecting themselves and building and aggrandizing their power. So, anyway, Madison basically alludes to, and I'm just going to cite what he says, and this is in paragraph 25 of his Notes on Nullification of 1834. And he says, "On the contrary, it is known to have been received by the Republican Party a decided majority of the people with which most entire approbation." In other words, he didn't refer to the party as the Democratic Republican Party. He again referred to the party as the Republican Party. So who are you to believe? When Jefferson tried to explain the emphasis that, you know, we believed in the democratic process, but this was a Republican form of government. This is a Republican Party. Who do you believe? When you start reading it and you can't find any reference by these men that actually said, no, the name of this party was the Democratic Republican Party. Well, I'm sorry. They called it the Republican Party. I don't have any evidence that states otherwise, other than the one time that it was explained with adjective or a descriptor. Anyway, as we start looking at the parties then, so Madison created what we call the Republican Party, and if you look at the planks, the foundation, it was really a party that was based upon compliance to the Constitution. And within the spirit of the Union, Now we look today and we look at all these parties, and all of these parties really have become almost like ideological, I'd almost say in a religious fashion, they've become parties of morality, they've become parties of immorality, they've become parties of all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the Constitution. Let me ask you something now. Now that you've been pondering and praying on this, do you believe that there is a need to make something moral out of something that doesn't exist? In other words, if the federal government is doing immoral things, do we need to argue about the fact that they're doing something immoral, or do we need to argue the fact that they have no authority to do what they're doing? In other words, removing the morality from it and looking at it strictly as a compact, looking at it in under contractual law and contractual enforcement, they have no authority to exercise that power. They have no authority. So we can sit here and talk about the education system and say, oh, look at the evil things that they're promoting. That has nothing to do with the fact that they have no authority to do it. And so when we start fighting, oh, they're teaching, you know, this sexual morphing, this critical race theory, all of these evil things. Folks, you've completely lost sight of the real problem. They have no authority to dictate anything within the education system. And they actually got their foot in the door with the Snopes trial. Or the Scopes trial, I'm sorry, Snopes. The Scopes trial. I'm really bad with names, so anybody that's new to the show, I do struggle with names. It's not that I can't think of them, it's just that there's just so many things in my head that names tend to trip me up more. Anyway, so here's the thing. If you look at the Scopes trial, where was the jurisdiction? Where did the federal government have jurisdiction over anything in the education system? They didn't. But this is how they got their foot in the door, because it was argued that because they were reading the Bible and teaching creation, that it should be allowed that they would be teaching evolution instead, because evolution, as far as they were concerned, was a proven theory. Now, we actually proved evolution was not a proven theory by the Miller-Ulrich experiment much later on, when they actually proved with this, you know, this protein goo, that even though they may have had the building blocks for life, when we discovered DNA and genomes, we discovered that the seed, the intelligent design of the creator, was missing, and it could never be injected. The programming could not be done for the cells and the cell development and everything else that we understand that is a part of the DNA and the genomes. There is no way that could have ever just coincidentally happened by lightning striking protein goo. It just couldn't. And so this is one of the reasons why nobody ever wants to dive into the technicalities, and we're not diving that far in. The fact of the matter is, yes, the hardware exists in this world for a computer to exist. But there's no way in heck that the world forces, you know, with the moving of the earth and the tumultuating, and even if the world actually by circumstance created the first computer, it would not operate, because it needed software to function for its instructions of how to act and what to do. And that's the same thing with life on Earth. Life, period. There are detailed instructions built down in the cellular code that we call DNA and genomes that actually help you function. So now here I went down a rat hole, and my focus is really to be on the parties. So see, I apologize. What I want to do is I really want to help you focus and understand why the two-party system has been working together and stealing our government. I've already made the case regarding the Electoral College. Why is it that there's no way another party could ever be chosen as president? No way. Because they don't have the ballot access. They're being suppressed so much so that the Republican and Democrat have a full lock on who can become president. They use their primaries to do this. They have created a sealed system that no one can penetrate in the way that they've done it. But here's the irony. They had to violate the Constitution and the spirit of the Constitution to do this. And if you wake up, we can actually start removing all of these little laws that they've put into place in protecting themselves. One of those laws is that the Electoral College is to be chosen by the party. All you need to do is get your state to actually invoke the constitutional process that every person You know, the ballots for presidency will represent electors. In other words, you should never see the president on the election for the election of president, for the choosing of the president. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the choosing of executives, period, because we are not to have a direct democracy for anything but our representation or representatives, and our elector is our representative. And I'll stop myself right there so I don't bleed into this next break. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me kind of get back to the party, and let me kind of get back to really why this is so important. We have to actually start getting the party, and specifically a party, to focus on compliance. I believe that the party that is the closest, largest, most relevant party that could actually and quickly transition into becoming the dominating party, if everybody understands the importance of compliance to the Constitution, forget about your agendas, forget about political agendas of what's moral and what's right. If we have full compliance to the United States Constitution, and if every state then had to actually comply to those standards and compliances, almost all of the businesses that they're functioning, go look at your state constitution. Forgive me for going on this tangent, but go look at your state constitution and find out where the people delegated the power to the state to regulate and control the environment, labor, or let's even say, you know, housing, or what else? All of these different drug laws and all of these things that have been driven from the United States government. When we look at the Department of Transportation, the Department of Education, Health and Human Services, almost every function that your state government is creating and exercising, these bureaucracies that are taking away your rights, parental rights are being stripped from you from bureaucracies. These are fundamental, inalienable rights that you cannot be, you can't lose these things. I mean, it's one thing if a parent goes out and abuses their child or puts their children in harm's way with neglect or all sorts of things, then that parent will lose their rights because the state does need to step in. But they can't just strip you of your rights because you're a parent. And that's what they're doing. So when we start looking at, does your state constitution, have you amended your state constitution to grant them all of these powers that the federal bureaucracy has poured down their throat? You'll find out that they haven't, that there's really no amendments for them, but they've been using this little clause that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Therefore, they make this huge leap that if the federal government is asserting that you do this, then you have to do it with child enforcement supports and all these other different things. Folks, all we need to do is demand that our government comply to the Constitution and don't give them the power. As a matter of fact, you're better off putting that power closer to you. This is why we have to start elevating the counties and their role in governing, because they're the most accessible to you. You can see what they're doing. You can know, you can smell it because it's that close. Things that are happening at the state level, it's still close to you, but it's farther removed and bigger deals can be done. They need to be stripped of the powers that they have. They need to be stripped down like the federal government's constitution and only giving them the functions of those things and giving the power back to the county. This is how you can eliminate population centers from destroying your state like Chicago. This is how, in a true Republican form of government, in American republicanism, representation goes to not only the people, but the sub-element of government. Excuse me. That sub-element of government is your county seat. Your county, back in the day, it used to be boards of supervisors. If you look at how every state was created after the 13 original states, the state's constitution was created by the counties. That they had, each county sent a number of delegates, and those delegates would sit down, and those delegates would literally, you know, the more populated county would be on more committees, and they would put together a constitution, and each county had one vote, just like the U.S. Constitution. No county could overpower the rest of the county. They all had equal footing. Just like every state is to have equal footing. I'm teaching you things here that you've never learned before, or if you have, then at least you're well enough informed to understand the truth. And the truth is that the parties themselves at the national level are the problem. So the day will come if we could convert, let's just say, okay, we're going to fix the Republican Party because that's where everybody's at. And we start going through all of these different states and making them just like Wyoming, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the perfect model of a constitutional party. If you don't believe me, go look at the resolutions of 2019. May 4th, they passed resolutions for calling for an audit of the United States Constitution. That was a bold move. No other party has made those types of bold moves yet. That's how far along the Wyoming GOP party is. So the fact of the matter is, if we could just, let's expand on that within the Republican Party, what would end up happening is the legality of the trademark would step in, because the national committee, the RNC, would say, we own that Republican name. And you can't do these things. And they would actually come out and censor, shut down, and, you know, and actually take over their party. Because when you own the brand, you own that name. The Constitution Party is your party. It is the largest party and the most apt and most capable of becoming the party that it needs to be. If you want to go look at my presentation that I gave to the Constitution Party last November, when I say last November, 2020, the November 2020, the beginning of COVID, I started pointing out to them that they had, the thing I like about the Constitution Party, I'd love to get more involved with the Independent American Party and actually create a merger. I would like to see both of these parties actually become identical, to where they either become the Constitution Party or that at least they're working together so that they're promoting constitutional candidates. That's what we want out of all parties. And if every party if every party all of a sudden felt the pressure to say, we all have to comply to the Constitution, it would destroy the Republican and Democratic Party. They would, because they are held by the globalists. The globalists tell them what to do, and then they're going to help fund fighting the warfare against us, because that's where the money's coming from. And when you start following the money and you start looking at, you know, how many people know and understand why Reagan was unable to select Kemp as his running mate? Most people knew going into the convention and during the convention that when Reagan was going to come out to name his running mate, it was going to be Kemp. What happened? This evil man by the name of Kissinger had a little meeting with Reagan and sat down and said, if you make him your running mate, we will unleash all of this information. So apparently Kemp had some baggage. Folks, everybody has baggage. And when they have enough information on you, then they're going to try to use that. I believe that we've all made mistakes, and I believe that Reagan made a mistake by choosing Bush, who was one of the grandfathers of the deep state, the current day deep state, that he inherited. The fact of the matter is when we start really looking at everybody, we all have to start acknowledging that who among us have not sinned? Who among us, you know, we were able and willing to forgive Clinton. You know, we knew he smoked pot and inhaled. And most people, at least after his first election, most people knew this guy couldn't keep it in his pants. Most people knew he had some serious problems, behavioral problems. Did America really forgive him, though? No. There was still a lot of morality in America. And at that point in time, I challenge you to go look at both of those races. In 1992, Clinton won with 39% of the vote. He had to have, he got cooperation from Bush, who had to bring in a third party, Perot, a fellow businessman, deep stater, to actually split the conservative vote so that Clinton could win. And then they had to do it again when Dole ran against him. And Dole was in on this as well. And I know the man just died, but they actually split the conservative vote because Clinton only won with 42% of the popular vote. Now, when Bush Jr. came in, Bush Jr., I think he actually, you know, it was very close. It was like 50. It was the first time we were that close to 50% in a long time since Reagan. And as a matter of fact, Bush Sr., he was riding Reagan's shirt tails, so there's just, you know, there was no way he was going to lose. He had to lose it himself. And the reason George Sr. could not get reelected is because he had already brought in the Agenda 21, and he needed it to succeed, and he couldn't get the Republican Party at that point in time to go fully on board. And so this is how he handed the realm over to. Go look at how George Bush Sr. ran his election. I'm exposing you. The fact is the Republican Party is that corrupt at the highest levels. Yeah, you may have some good people in your county. You may have some good people in your state. But the penetration of corruption within the Republican Party is so bad, folks, it's time we start talking about the elephant in the room, and that is the Republican Party. There is no hope. We have to abandon in a very strategic way, and we'll talk more about that. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.